Let's review the sugya of maskir and socher, of what we've covered up until this point, and we'll base ourselves on some of the shirim of the Rosh Yeshiva that we have mentioned in the past, and hopefully this will be an overview that could be meaningful even for someone who was not with us from the beginning. In the sugya of maskir and socher, the Gemara vacillates back and forth as to who is obligated in bedika. Is it the maskir who owns the house, or the socher who has the chametz in his rishus? Al mi livdok? Al maskir livdok de chamira di dehu? O dilma, al socher livdok de isura birshusei koi? We suggested one interpretation, and that's the derech of the Rashash, that the question really boils down to what the machayev, the essence of bedika, is it bali yiro bai motze, and therefore the maskir would be chayev in bedika, or is it the sheva yavel yochlo? But then again, that's machlokas Rashi and Tosfos about whether bedika is bali yiro bai motze or sheva yavel yochlo at the very beginning of the Masechta. And it's a little bit odd to say that that's what the suffix in the Gemara is. Furthermore, we're going to have a problem with the analogy to mezuzah as we'll go along. Now, perhaps we could suggest the following, that the suffix of the Gemara would be dependent upon who became obligated first in Bedika. Therefore, with Knisas Leil Yudalid, the maskir was already chayav. Or should we say, no, even though Betchilas Achiyuv, the maskir was certainly chayav, but now the bias is in the hands of the socher, the chametz is in his rishus, and therefore he becomes obligated in bedika. But yet the Gemara gives the reason for the maskir being chayv because of chamira di dehu, and that's a little difficult, because why did the Gemara have to present the suffix in terms of hamaskir bais biyudalid if we're going with the logic of chamira di dehu, even if the maskir would have signed a binding agreement with the socher on Yud Gimel, what difference would it make if with Knisas Leil Yudalid the agreement and the schirus is chal vis-a-vis the socher? What difference would it make? The maskir still owns the chametz, and the Gemara says chamira di dehu, and therefore he should be chayev. And the Ri and Tosus says that chamira di dehu v'chal of chiyu bedika sha achas konim sheskira. And that might be the similarity to mezuzah, in which case we again re-raise the following question. If the tzad to be mechayev the maskir is because he owns the chametz, that should apply even if he would have rented out the house earlier, he still remains the owner of the chametz. And one possibility that could be investigated, we never addressed this possibility, is that with the schirus itself, the chametz somehow transfers over to the ownership of the socher, and maybe the socher is konam yidin chotzer if the maskir has das makta. I don't know, but let's offer another suggestion that meikar din both are chayiv in bedikah, the maskir and the socher, and the reason is because they both lived in the house on Yom Yudalid, and the living in the house is itself to be mechayiv the bedikah. So we actually studied this possibility, exciting possibility, that both the maskir and the socher should be chayiv in bedika. They're both living in the house on Yudalid. Right at the beginning of Yudalid, the maskir is there, and then the socher takes over. And they both, insofar as both of them are living in the house, that's a mechayiv of bedika. The question only is, mevchina, From the perspective of Maisa, of the physical implementation of bedika, who's going to, you know, the maskir wants to mechayev the socher and vice versa. So the Maisa, who is going to do the Maisa bedika when both the maskir and the socher are chayev? And Rashi seems to imply that this is a derabbanan because bittul was already achieved. If there was no bittul and we were dealing with the doraisa, then clearly either one of the two would be chayv, or neither would be chayv, or both would be chayv, whatever it is, it was clear to Rashi, that was pshita, that wasn't part of the suffix of the Gemara.
Now, the tzad to say that the maskir has to do the bedika is because, and the socher could force the maskir to do the bedika, is because the maskir owns the chametz. Or shall we say, on the contrary, since the chametz is in the reshus of the socher, then the maskir could say to the socher, you're chayav in bedika. The socher, although he doesn't own the chametz technically, but he's really has the possibility, he has the access to the house to implement the bedika. But again, the Gemara Suffolk now, according to this interpretation that we're investigating, is not who's chayiv and bedika, because they're both chayiv and bedika, but who lamais has to do the bedika. And Rashi's language seems to indicate that when he says torach zeh al mi mutal. It's only the torach of the bedika, but the chiv of bedika is on both. Now the rive from mezuzah is because the Gemara thinks that the maskir is chayav insofar as he owns the house, the socher is chayav insofar as he lives in the house. They're both chayav, each one has an ample machayav, and now the question is, where does the chayav mezuzah fall, lamaisa? And the Bryce is quoted as saying that the socher is chayav in bedika, and therefore, by analogy, in the case of maskir and socher in bedika schametz, the socher should be chayav in bedika schametz. So he's the, as far as the mitzvahs and the chiyuv of the bias, he's in the driver's seat. So Gemara rejects this, and the Gemara says, no, mezuzah chovas ha-dorhi. In other words, in mezuzah, it's not that both are chayiv, only the dor is chayiv, and that's the socher. And the bailus of the maskir on the house is not enough to generate a chiyuv mezuzah. Again, here we raise the question, what would be if the maskir at some point was living in the house before he rented it out, and therefore he had a chiyuv mezuzah? And then we're back to the re in Tosus, who says, can you transfer the chiyuv mezuzah? But in any event, clearly the Gemara's maskon is, there's no room for an equation to bedika, because mezuzah is different insofar as the chiyuv is clearly a one-sided chiyuv, and the socher is singularly chayuv in bedika. There is a sugya in Nazir on Daf Mem Zayin that we didn't mention, the Machlokas Tanoim, about a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir both encountered a dead body, a Meis Mitzvah, who's chayv to be metame? Because again, we're not going to be metame both of them. That's ridiculous. And the question is, which of the two should actually be metapel with the mess? The Gemara goes on to say that the final maskana in the suffix by maskin socher depends upon the mesiris maftechos. If the mesiris maftechos took place after yudalid, then the maskir is chayiv. If it took place before yudalid, the socher is chayiv. Now here we had a fundamental question. The Gemara talks about a case of yotze b'shayara. Person leaves his house. Let's say he leaves his house Hanukkah time. Does he have to check his house? And we find the din that if a person leaves his house earlier than 30 days before the Chag, then he has no chiyuv bedika. And it's only if he leaves his house within the 30-day period, close to the Chag, then he's chayiv in bedika. Now, if he leaves his house within 30 days, let's say after Shushan Purim, and he has a chiyuv bedika, how do we reconcile that with the date of Yudalit? Our Gemara's Maskon is, it all depends who has the keys on Yudalit. And the answer was that the din of Lamed Yom is not a din of Chovas Gavra, but rather it's a din of Bayis Boduk. Yom Yudalit, on the other hand, is a din of Chovas Gavra. Now, between 30 days before the Chag and Yudalit, Erev Pesach, there's a chiyuv of Chovas Bayis, and that's incumbent upon the maskir. And since his chiyuv Chovas Bayis came before the chiyuv on the socher, therefore he should be chayiv. And the maskir should be chayiv with the Chovas Bayis, even if the schirus took place before Yud Gimel, because the key date for the Chovas Bayis is Lamed Yom Kodem L'Chag. But the svar to be mechayiv the socher apparently is because the socher could pick up the chovas gavra. So let's say, for example, the mesiris maftechas took place before Leil Yudal. The socher is now, the proud owner of the maftechos. You know, he's got the keys in his pocket, both figuratively and literally. he picks up with the beginning, with the Knis of Yudalit, he picks up the Chovas Gavra. So as far as Chovas Gavra is concerned, we don't have a Chovas Gavra on the Maskir if he rented it out before Yudalit. Although the Maskir did in fact have a Chovas Bias, but that Chovas Bias is conditional or is predicated on the assumption that there won't be a Bedika. So the Bias needs Bedika. There's no Chovas Gavra because the, or shall we say, there's no Kiyum HaGavra because the Maskir is not going to be around, or the Yotzei B'Shayor is not going to be around. But in this case where he's renting it to a Socher, the Socher could pick up the Chovas Gavra, and therefore the Bias Baduk is completely irrelevant, because Bias Baduk is a conditional contingent Chiyuv that depends upon whether or not there will be a Kiyum of Chovas Gavra. And in this case, there will be a chiyum of Chovas Gavra. If, on the other hand, the Maskir is holding on to the Maftechos B'Knisus Leil Yudalit, now he picks up the Chovas Gavra in addition to the Chovas Bias, and certainly he has to do the Vedika. So the Gemara's Maskara makes a lot of sense. Now, according to the Ri and Tosfos, when the Gemara establishes, the Gemara has a suffix about Dini Mominus here. On Yudalit itself, the Gemara has a suffix, according to the Hemshech HaTosfos in the Ri, if both are Chayav, who in Dini Mominus has to implement the Bedika in reality, in Betzius? And based on the Braisa, the Gemara concludes that it all depends on whether the Schirus took place before Yudalit, in which case the Socher is Chayav, or after Yudalit and the Maskir is Chayav. And again, this is all based on two chiyuvim. There's a Chovas Bayis Boduk, and there's a Chovas Gavra. But after Yudalit, the Maskir has to do the Bedika, because he had not only a Chovas Bayis, he also had a Chovas Gavra. And now, it comes out that the determining factor, the clincher, according to Tosfos, is the Chovas Gavra and Leil Yudalit. So again, as far as Yotzei B'Shayora, when we're talking about a Chovas Bayis, that's with Shloshim Yom Konim Lechag. Now Rashi Dibra Maskil Chovas Hadar writes that our sugi is dealing with chametz, bedikas chametz derabbanon, and as far as Bar Yehuda Bar Yemotzi is concerned, these lavim were covered already by bittul. So the rabbanon required bedik even after bittul, and now the Gemara wants to know torich zel mi mutul. And therefore the bias haGemara, the suffix of the Gemara, is dafka in a bedika after bittul. If, on the other hand, there was no bittul, then the Gemara, the way Rashi interprets it, would be absolutely sure about it. There would be no room for safek of davar pashut that one is chayav in bedika. Now, who would be chayav in bedika? The one who's violating Bal Yerov Hayimotze, because bedika comes along with Bal Yerov Hayimotze. In this case, there was no bittul. And now, who would violate Bal Yerov Hayimotze? So the question is the following. If you're dealing with Bailus on the Chomet, certainly the Maskir should be Chayiv in Bedika. I mean, he's Chayiv in Bal Yerov Hayimotze, it's his Chomet, he's Chayiv in Bedika. But Rashi, on that Vav Amid Beis, Dibra Maskil HaBodek, he says that the Nusach of Kol Chamir Dika Bebesa HaDein Li Batel, and Rashi emphasizes Bebesa HaDein, could be that Rashi is trying to emphasize Bebesa HaDein that the Socher is Chayiv in Bedika. He's in the bias. It's his Besa HaDein. And again, we're talking on a Deraisa level. There was no Bittul, and the Socher becomes liable for Bal Yerov Hayimotzei. And this reflects, as we've said over and over again, but it pays to review this, the Shitas HaGon, the Gra in Siman Tov Mem Gimel, that Chametz of Yisrael Acher, Bishus Yisrael, is over all of. That Ruvain's Chametz is in the Rishus of Shimon. Shimon violates by Yerov Hayimotzei, even without Achrayus. And that, hence the Socher is Chayev and Bedika. The Pnei Yoshua also agrees with this approach, that the Chametz is in the Rishus of Shimon, and even though it's the Chametz of Ruvain, Shimon violates by Yerov Hayimotzei. We saw that Rosh Shiva of Itri had a riot to this from a Rashi later on Daf Mem Vav, regarding Truma, that Rashi says that if he was mafresh Truma's chametz, then there's a problem of Bayiro Bayimotze, because the chametz is, go over that last point again, in the case of Shehiyas Chala, if it was mafresh Chala, it's not the case of Truma, but Chala, there's no violation of Bayiro Bayimotze, Rashi says, because he was mafresh it as Chala, so it's not his chametz, and lo shel chavercha dakati lo modu liad kohen, he hasn't yet delivered the challah to the kohen, and Rashi seems to be implying that if it would belong to the kohen, then he would be in violation of al yirovay matzeh, and that would support the Gra's interpretation that chametz shel yisrael achas. So then the socher here who has the chametz in rishus would have to burn the chametz, and I assume he would have to be mevatel the chametz as well. So the Bedikas Chametz culminating in Sreifa would be incumbent upon the Socher, and that's all if there was no Bittel, and we're dealing with the Doraisa. Now, if on the other hand there was Bittel, then, as we said earlier, there's a Tzad to be Mechayev the Maskir, both in terms of his abstract legal ownership of the Chametz, and the fact that his bias has his chametz in it. So we have both a chovas gavra and a chovas bias boduk. So again, in the case where there was bittel, and again we're suggesting that perhaps it's the socher who is going to be liable for bayi rov matzeh, hence he does the bittel. Now the Rabbanan imposed the chiyuv bedika, and the question is, who has to implement the chiyuv bedika, or maybe who's chayiv in the bedika? And again, we would like to suggest that perhaps only one of them, the maskir or the socher, is chayiv in bedika. Again, we're talking about bedika after bittel. And at this point, we can introduce, within the framework of Rashi, the shita, the ri, balatosvis, that both are chayiv. And the Gemara wants to know, al mi mutal Torah chabedika, lahotzi lafal. Or we can interpret according to Rashi, that the Gemara is clearing now, is the chovas bedika, midrabanan, depend upon the bala chametz, or on the person who's living in the house with the chametz, and the chametz is birshuso. That's on a midrabanan level. Now, in terms of this last keta, last possibility that we suggested, the Rosh Hashiva of Ariav of Itri suggests that the possibility exists that the, what he calls the Sibas HaTakon of Bedika, even according to Rashi, is Shem Yovel Yochel. When Rashi speaks about Bal Yerov Bayimotzi, he's talking not about the Sibas HaTakon, but rather the Geder HaTakon, the Mahus HaTakon. And in that context, we can really begin to understand the difference between the maskir and the socher. As far as the Sibas HaTakon is concerned, we would certainly suggest that the Shem Yovel Yochlo is relevant to the socher, but as far as the Mahus HaTakon, that we so to speak, suspend Bittel because we don't want to rely on Bittel. Again, we don't want to rely on Bittel because of Shem Yovel Yochlo, but now, at the end of the day, we're not going to rely on Bittel. We do the Bittel to his Bittel, and we get to Bal Yerov Bayimotzeh, which in this case might be incumbent upon the Maskir. But again, if we're going into Vilna Gaon, then we're saying that in any event, the Socher is liable for Bal Yerov Bayimotzeh. Now, Rashi, in Mezuzah Chovas Hador, Lefishi Misham Rosso, Ksiv Beis Chavi Asecha, Rashi wants to emphasize that in contrast to Bedika, where there is a concept called Bayis Boduk, there's no parallel in Mezuzah. The Mezuzah is not a Kiyum in the Bayis. There's only a Kiyum Gavra, and that's it. That's Beis Chav, which means Bi Asecha. Don't interpret Beis Chav simply the way it's written in the Torah as your Bayis, but rather Bi Asecha, Knisa V'Yitziah, and that means the Gavra. And therefore it was partial that the socher in Mezuzah is chayiv, because the biyosecha and the yitziyosecha is that of the socher. Now, Tosa Menachas Mem Dalet quotes an opinion that if someone lives in the house, even if he has no kinyonim in the house, just the very fact that he's living in the house, he's chayiv in mezuzah. Clearly, that's not a chovas bias. A classic chovas bias is generated by my ownership of the bias. Now, if we go with that shita, Rashi's telling us there's no suffix that if the bedik is doraisa, the chovas gavra is clear. There's a clear cut chovas gavra. If bedik is only drabbanan, there's two elements here. There's a chovas bias to make sure the bias is baduk, and that chovas bias never was poka from the maskir because he came first. And now the maskil should be bodik, or should we say no, the socher should be bodik because he's chayv in the chovas gavra. When they wanted to prove that the socher is chayv based on the proof from mezuzah, the havamina was that even a mezuzah is a chovas bias, which would generate a chiyuv incumbent upon the maskir, and therefore it's similar to v'dika. The socher has the chovas mezuzah as a chovas gavra, and the maskir has the chovas mezuzah, the chovas gavra. The Gemara answers no. Mezuzah is only a chovas hador, and there's only a chovas gavra in terms of bias by mezuzah. There's no chovas bias. As we saw before, I don't even own the house, and I'm chayv in mezuzah because I'm living in the house. So therefore the socher is clearly chayiv mezuzah, not the maskir. It's not similar to bedika. We have a strong svara to be chayiv the maskir. We suggest, again this is very tenuous, that even if you go with the gon, that the socher, insofar as he has chametz shel Yisrael b'shuso, is in violation of Al Yerovei Motzei, that doesn't uproot and vindicate, if you will, the maskir, because he owns the chametz. So he has Bal Yerovei Motzei mitzad ownership, whereas the socher has Bal Yerovei Motzei mitzad reshus. And we saw that the Toras Chaim and some achronim really suggest that there could be two people violating Bal Yerovei Motzei for two different reasons, even though they're not partners in the chametz. And I emphasize this possibility as really being worthy of study, first of all in the context of the Gaon, we have to understand, but More importantly, in the context of maskir and socher, why would it be that after the bittul, and according to the Gaon, it's the socher is doing the bittul, why would the bedikah b'drabbanan be incumbent upon the maskir? And the answer is because he owns the chametz, and he is in violation of Bal Yerovei Motzei. And that's what the Gemara means by chamira didei. Although, again, in Hilchas Bal Yerovei Motzei, the socher has this new quasi-bailus that's only relevant to chametz, and that is he has his friend's chametz in his rishus. We suggest that maybe he has to return that chametz at some point. Although, again, it's not what you call a kabbal sachrayus in the sense of a shomer, but he has to return the chametz because it's not his, and he doesn't want to violate lo sigzol. So in that sense, he wants the chametz to continue to exist. And that gives him a kind of lo yimatze bailus because the chametz is in his rishus and he wants it to continue to exist. At the same token, the maskir should be chayv v'dika because it's his chametz, technically according to Choshevish, but he owns the chametz. And there's Bal Yerovei Motzei both on the maskir midin lecha and on the socher midin rishuso. Now, let's get back to the question about why the suffix of the Gemara was limited to the case of Yudalit. Why not before Yudalit? And perhaps we could suggest that the chiyuv on the maskir, that the bias should be a bias baduk, will continue, will be nishar olav, and continue to exist only if he eventually gets hit with a chovas gavra. So that the chovas bias starting with 30 days before the chag is anticipation of the chovas gavra on Yudalit. Normally, no matter where he is on the face of the earth, he has that chovas gavra on Yudalit. So therefore, if he can't fulfill it on Yudalit, then the chovas bias 30 days before the chag kicks in and obligates him to do the bedika at the last moment before he leaves his house. But in this case, where the socher will pick up the chovas gavra, then the chovas bias will not generate a chiyuv on the maskir. But again, all that is assuming that the schiras took place before Yudalit. So everything depends on Bein HaShmoshes of Yudalit. If the socher came earlier, in other words, he became the renter and with a binding agreement and a contract and so forth before Yudalit, before Bein HaShmoshes, then he picks up the Chovas Gavra, and then he has a chiyuv of bayis bado. Now, the Ramah in Or Chaim Simon Tuf Lamed Vav says that there's no bracha on Bedikas Chometz during the Lamed Yom in the Yotzei B'Shayor case. So it means that Asher Kedshanu Mitzvos V'Tzivanu only applies to a Chovas Gavra, and the Chovas Gavra doesn't emerge until Leil Yudalit. So therefore, the Bedikas HaMaskir in our sugya would, again, we would require a Chovas Gavra, or maybe we could say, let's just think this out loud. We would say the following, that the Chovas Bayis of Shloshim Yom could generate a chiyuv if there'll be a chovas gavra. Here in this case of the maskir, the socher picks up the chovas gavra because the maskir checked out of the house, and it's the socher who's going to be there at the time of the chovas gavra when it emerges with Leil Yudalit. In this case, it would seem crystal clear that the socher would make a bracha because he's there on Leil Yudalit. That gives him a chovas gavra. And the maskir is out of the picture. Now, in the case where the maskir is still in the driver's seat with knisas Leil Yudalit and the contract is not binding until later, then the maskir picks up a chovas gavra. It could be that in that case he would have to make a bracha, even according to the Ramah, because although he began with a Chovas Bayis 30 days before the Chag, anticipating that in this case he would rent out the house on Leil Yudalit, so he never would pick up the Chovas Gavra, but since Lamaisa, the sale, the rent, the schiras contract was binding after Knesset Leil Yudalit, the maskir did in fact pick up the Chovas Gavra. Now, in terms of the equation between Chometz, Bedikas Chometz, and Mezuzah, and we said that the Havamin of the Gemara was to make that equation because the maskir is Chai B'Torah's Chovas Gavra, and the Socher is Chai B'Torah's Dar, call it a Chovas Bayis. And the question would be whether the maskir could be mafkia his chiyuv of mezuzah when he rents the house, and indeed he can, and the same thing could apply to bedikas chometz. The maskir had a chiyuv bedika, now he transfers it over to the socher. And the Gemara answers, no, you can't prove anything from mezuzah because there's only a chovas hadar in the case of mezuzah. The socher is clearly chayiv, the maskir is not chayiv at all. But perhaps we could add the following, that even in mezuzah, maybe there are two dinim. There's a chovas gavra, Rashi says biyoscha, biyosecha, biyo v'yitziya, v'knisa, and everything else. And there's also a chovas bayis. Just that in mezuzah, the chovas bayis depends upon the chovas gavra. Meaning, that if you mafkir the chovas gavra, then the schiris of the bais over to the socher is going to transfer the chiyuv mezuzah. In other words, there's no chiyuv mezuzah on the socher independent of the chovas gavra, but maybe we were mafkia, we could undermine and avoid the chovas gavra because of the schiris. Now, once you transfer the chovas gavra over to the socher, memela he becomes chayiv in the chovas bais. But again, all this is built on the premise that the Chovas Bayis is nigrar, so to speak, is schlepped along by the Chovas Gavra. Now, in Bedikas Chametz, we could separate two halachas. The two halachas, Chovas Gavra and Chovas Bayis. Even though the Chovas Gavra was paka, but there's still a Chovas Bayis that remains intact, incumbent upon the maskir. And therefore, even though now the socher is living in the house, the maskir still remains chayev in bedika. Now again, why do we assume that there are two dinim in mezuzah, both a chovas gavran and chovas bayis? That's based on the sugya in Menachos Mem Dalid, and Tosus there, dinim maskil talis. The socher who rents a house, for 30 days he's potter min mezuzah. Then after 30 days, he becomes chayev mezuzah. Tosus says that during this period of 30 days he's potter because it's not his base dira. That's not real dira. Only after 30 days does it mature and develop to become dira. And then, at the end of that 30-day period, he becomes chayev mezuzah. There are two opinions in Tosus and Menachos. If that chiyuv on the socher is doraisa, because of the drasha beisecha derech biyasecha, or is it only drabanan, because midoraisa we say beisecha v'lo shel acherim. And it could be that Tosus in his two deis is vacillating about our very issue. The very issue that we're dealing with is mezuzah only a chovas gavra, meaning it's totally exhausts itself that even the dar, or is it also a chovas bayis? Now let's just review our discussion about shlichus. In the case of Bedikas Chametz, the Gemara is absolutely crystal clear on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, which is the Hemshech of Asugya of Maskir and Socher, that there is shlichus in Bedika. In fact, there was a minhag they used to pay the shluchim, professional service. The question that Rav Soloveitchik was interested in is whether or not there's minu shlichus. And that would mean, if we require minu, that we're talking about classic shlichus, shlucho shel onam kimoso. And if we don't require minui, and we're talking about a new din entirely, then someone who would normally be excluded from functioning in the role of a shliach, like a katan, would, again, if we're classic shlichus, then the katan is excluded. If we're dealing with a new halacha that circumvents and is not based on shlucho shalom kemosa, then it's quite possible the katan could serve as this, again, I'm afraid to use the word, but quasi-shliach. So again, if we need shlichus mamish, then a katan who's mufka from shlichus cannot possibly fill that capacity, and he cannot be a shliach for bedikas chametz. Now, in general, we have a concept of mitzvah shebegufo. There's no shlichus on a mitzvah shebegufo. Is that because you need the guf of the person who's fulfilling the mitzvah, like hanachas tefillin has to be biyado, al yodo? Or is it because whenever you don't need das, there's no das makna, like in mitzvahs, then it's not shaykh to talk about shlichus. Now, in the cases of truma and karban pesach, shlichus would be meaningful, but in the case of matzah, for example, there would be no possibility of shlichus. And the difference between the two is because there's an element of das makna in truma and in Karban Pesach. And that lends itself to shlichus, the classic universal shlichus. But in a mitzvah like achilas matzah, there's no requirement of das, and therefore it's not shaykh to demand das and shlichus. Now perhaps the Gemara vacillates here about shlichus and bedika based on these views that we mentioned just now. According to Tzad Aleph that we mentioned, then shlichus should work in bedika because it's not a mitzvah shebegufo. But if we go like Tzad Beis, and there's no requirement of das in mitzvahs, hence no shlichus, then shlichus like any other mitzvah doesn't lend itself to shlichus. There's no requirement of das within the framework of bedika. So it's possible that this issue depends upon the very fundamental definition of bedikas chametz. If we would postulate that there's a kiyum mitzvah in bedika, then shlichus would be inoperative. There's no such thing as a shliach for a mitzvah. I can't appoint you to take the lulav for me. But if the requirement here is to have a bias that's baduk, then it makes sense that this new kind of shlichus, which encompasses, includes even a katan, should be operative, should be valid. So we end up with a suffek, and that's how we leave it, call it teku, as to whether or not there's classic shlichus in bedikas chametz, which means that it's not a mitzvah shebegufo, or shall we say if there's no element to das makne, then we cannot be talking in the framework of chametz with a classic shlichus, because shlichus requires das makne, and it's some sort of new din, which could allow even a katan to be bodek. Now, what is the mitzvah of bedikas chametz? Is it the maisa bedika? Is the kium of having a bias baduk? If we could assume it's bias baduk, then there's no maisa shebegufo, no mitzvah shebegufo. It's a mitzvah copy the bias, and therefore shlichus should operate. If you hold like one side in our chakira that the problem with mitzvahs is that mitzvahs are mitzvah shebegufo, like tefillin, like talis, etc., etc. But here the bedika is in the bias. It's not in the gufo shel adam. It's not the maisa that he's sweating and implementing his bedika. But again, if you go like the second tzad, that shlichus only works in the context of das machna, like in kiddushin or kinyonim, and therefore in mitzvahs there is no shlichus, that should apply to bedika as well. But if you go to the second tzad, let's talk about the moel. Right, the avia ben is chayev in milas beno. The moel is going to implement that chiyuv. Is it midin shlichus? Well, we're going to have to assume that you don't need shlichus in the case of Mila, because again, we're going with the second side that shlichus is contingent upon das makne. There's no das makne, or we'll call it there's no, and maybe we don't want to use the term das makne, but there's no das, let's just say it in that way. Right? If you don't need das, i.e. mitzvos, then there's no shlichus. So then in Milu, you don't need das, it's not going to be shlichus. So we're going to have to say we're not dealing, in the case of a moel, with classic shlichus, but rather with fulfilling the father, fulfilling his obligation vis-a-vis the child that he should be mohul, he has that responsibility, but it's not a halacha that the father is obligated to do the mila. And therefore we should certainly require that the moel, l'chatchila, he's the one who should recite the bracha. Maybe the moel should be mevarech on the maisa mila, and the av should be mevarech on the kiyum mitzvah. But let's now go back to our case of bedika. We would suggest now that bedika doesn't require shlichus mamish, the classic legal shlichus, because the Baal HaBayis in this case is like the Aviyah Ben in Mila, he's responsible to see to it that the bias is baduk. And if that's his achrayus, then even if you hold that there would not be shlichus because of the absence of a requirement of das, but nevertheless, the proof is in the pudding. In other words, the result is koveya. And if there's any person who could generate that result, even if he's a katan, then that's enough for the father to have fulfilled his obligation. His obligation is not the maisa bedika, but rather making sure that the bias is baduk. That's his responsibility. Let's talk about the possibility of bittul in shlichus in bittul. We touched on this on Thursday, yesterday. And the Ran quotes the Bala Itur. So principle number one in this discussion would be the following. If there's bittul in Hegdesh, I'm sorry, let's start again. If there's shlichus in Hegdesh, meaning that even though Hegdesh is mili, it's dibur, it's amirasa l'gavoy, nevertheless shlichus is effective, then hefker, and therefore bittul, if we identify bittul with hefker, should be effective. The Ran quotes the Bala Ita, the Mistaber, the Shliach Mevatel. So that's one school of thought. Shlichus operates in Hegdesh, in Hefker, in Bittul, and Hefker and Bittul are one and the same. That's one school of thought. We have to mention the Marit, and the Marit holds that Mili Lo Memsu L'Shlichus undermines the viability of Shlichus in Hegdesh, and therefore it's fair to assume that there's no Shlichus in Bittul and in Hefker as well. The Ran says, Achirim Cholkim, Shekemen Shebittul Bitoris Hefker Nogube, Shliach Vade Lo Motzi Mevatel. So in the Ran's presentation of the Shitas Achirim, opposed to the Bala Itur, those who would identify Bittul as Hefker, now of the opinion that Shliach is not able to be Mevatel, and the assumption is that if a person would tell his friend to be mafkir his nechasim, that's nothing, that's meaningless. Now let's go with the other approach of the Ramban, that Bittul is not Hefker, it's a din of Ibud, a Shem Ovud, Yeush. Here it's quite clear that Shlichus would not be meaningful. According to the Ramban, that Bittul is Eino Rotze B'Kiyumo, there's no room for Shlichus. You can't send a Shliach for Eino Rotze B'Kiyumo. Now, the Mechaber Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Hilchos Pesach in Tov Lamed Beis, if Beis, seems to indicate that there is Shlichus in Bittul. But if we look in Simon Tuf Lamed Dalid, he writes explicitly, Shlucho Yochol Avatel. So that's good news. The Mechaber seems to be consistent that Shlichus works on Bittul. Now, perhaps what we're saying is that if you look at the Nusach of the Mechaber of Kol Chamira, it says, Libatel Ki Afra Diara. He doesn't mention Hefker. So this is a little bit odd, that on the one hand we're saying that according to the Mechaber, clearly you can appoint a Shliach for Bittul, and yet the Mechaber's Nusach HaBittul seems to reflect the Shita of the Ramban, that we're talking about Einu Rotsu B'Kiyumo, Bottle Kafir the Arrow. We're not talking in terms of Bittul, of Hefker at all. So we're not exactly sure why Shlichus would work by Bittul, according to the Mechaber. Now the Bir Agra in Simon Tof Lamed Dalid claims that the Makar, the source for Shlichus in Bittul, is the Gemara Nedarim, which is also in Bab Metzia in the Sugya of In Balav Imo. And in truth, we would have said that Shlichus would only work when you're creating something new, a new Totsah, like in Kiddushin and Kinyanim, you're creating a Kinyan, in Gerushin you're breaking up a Kinyan. And now, in the case of removing a Chalos, where you're not creating a Chalos, for example in Bittul, then we would have thought that Shlichus is not meaningful, is not valid. So how do we know that there is Shlichus? And that's where the Gaon is forced, he's compelled to introduce the Sugya Nedarman and Perek HaShoel. The Gemara says in Bav Metzia that if the Baal sends a Shliach on his behalf to work with the Chefetz, that's considered She'elah B'Bailim, the Shlucho Shalom Kimoso, and it's if the Baal himself is working, and that's called Bailif Imo. And the Gemara equates it to Nedarim Daf Ayin Beis, Ha'omer La Petrop is called Nedarim Shetei Ishti Noderes Haferla, And Rabbi Yonasan says Mufarim because the Shlucho Shel Adam Kimoso. So we have a clear-cut approach that Shlichus works in the case of Baal of Imo to make the Baal who sent the Shlich into an Oved and activate the principle of Baal of Imo, just like Shlichus operates in Haforas HaBaal in Nidorim. That's the approach of the Vilna Gaon. So therefore, if we go with the Man D'Omer that disagrees with Rabbi Yonasan and invalidates Shlichus as far as Hafara, there's a separate Gzeres HaKosov regarding Hafara, but with regard to Sheila B'Bailim that doesn't have that Gzeres HaKosov, we're going to apply the principle of Shlucho Shalom Kimoso. And that means in Hafaras Nedarim for sure, Shlucho Shalom Kimoso, and if it works, if Shlichus works in Nedarim, in Hafaras Nedarim, and again, according to one Man D'Omer, that's Mikra Adin. According to Man D'Omer, that's even Lamaisa. But everybody agrees Mikra Adin without the Gzeres HaKosev, then Shlichus would be meaningful, meaning that the Shlichus even Hafkas Chalos, to remove a Chalos, like for example the Neder of his wife, then that's going to be operative to be Mafkia, the Chalos Chi of She'ela, in the case of She'ela V'Bailim. And similarly, in the case of Bittel, to be Mafkia, his connection to the Chometz. However, it could be that the Gemara can be based on a different kind of comparison, because the Rambam in Hilchos Nedarim, Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Aleph, moving on there all the way to Halacha Hey, there are two possible modes or methods of being mafkia one's wife's neder. One is through Afar and the other is through Bittel. Right, Afar is when he says Mufar, or Batel, or Ein Neder Klum. But then there's another operative moment. That's called Bittel, when he, so to speak, forces his wife to do something that she had prohibited on herself. If she had prohibited in a Neder that she won't eat, and he takes food and he says, eat, then her Neder is Batel. And in this case, he says nothing. It's just kfiyah bilvad. That itself operates as a hafara without any action whatsoever. Now, what is the bittel in this case of kfiyah? It's the fact that he doesn't want the neder. That alone is enough to be mafkia the neder. He has to show that he doesn't want it. He has to demonstrate it. We need a hochacha, because he didn't say Mufar Loch, and that's going to be the act of Kfiyah. Kfiyah becomes Hafara simply because the Baal doesn't want the Neder, and proof for the pudding is he encouraged and perhaps even almost forced his wife to violate the Neder. So the Hafara is arguably the Amir itself, in the case of classic Hafara, But this Amir itself is just an expression of the fact that he, the Baal, is not happy with the Neder. Hence the Rambam equates it to the case of Bittel, of Kfiyah. So that, according to the Rambam, if the Neder is Bottle through Iritzono, that's either expressed verbally in Hafara, shall we call it an Amira, or through Bittel Yidei Maisa, which again expresses his Iritzono, and that's what effectuates the invalidation, the Bittel of the Neder. Tafkas HaNeder. Now, it doesn't make sense in the case where the Shliach was Mefir that it should be valid because of Iritzono, because of the objection and the dissatisfaction with the neder of the shliach. I mean, the fact that the shliach doesn't want the neder, that doesn't seem to prove anything. That's not relevant. We must therefore interpret that this must be a new type of shlichus, and there's some sort of tziruf between the mishaleach and the shliach. The maisa of the shliach becomes the maisa of the mishaleach of the baal. and there's a tziruf between the das habal and the action of the shliach, the pu'ulas hashliach. Therefore, if there's a gzeres hakosuv, the gzeres hakosuv, we would say that in this case shlichus should certainly work, and the operation of the shliach is through this new category of shliach, where the shliach comes, so to speak, to be the extension of the mishaleach. Of course, the mishaleach at this point would have to be a pikeach, as we pointed out yesterday. He'd have to be lucid. Not like in get, where according to the Torah and others, if the Baal, after he gave the get over to the shliach, he became a shota, nevertheless the shliach could be megarish with this get. Right, because in the case of get, we're not talking about some new kind of shlichus, where the nesinas hashlich is mitzuf to the Baal, but rather the shlich himself, replaces the Baal. He, the shlich, becomes the Baal HaBayis over the mice, the Baal HaMais. And therefore, even if the mishaleach became a shota, it doesn't matter, because the real McCoy who's generating the chalos is the shlich himself. Now, also in Shela B'Bailim, Kamo, as in the case of Afara, the Bailim give Tashmishim to a Shoel, and the Shliach is a replacement of the Bailim to do this Tashmish on behalf of the Bailim. So that's called an Asiyas Maisa Tashmish, which is Mitzurf to the Bailim. So even though the Shliach does the Maisa Tashmish with the object, nevertheless, it's mitzuruf to the bailim. Now, in the case of bittul, we can begin to understand the equation. The shliach is doing the maisa bittul, and he has to enunciate it, but it's pashut that his bittul alone, in his lave, the lave of the shliach, is not sufficient. It has to be mitzuruf to the bittul lave of the baal hachametz, the mishaleach. So the mini shlichus is only a gilui milsa. It's only to demonstrate that the mishaleach, the owner of the chametz, really wants the bittul to be implemented by the shliach. And it could be that he doesn't want the bittul to be chal until achiyas hashliach maisa bittul. So the bittul b'lev of the shliach is not going to be meaningful. And now we can say that even a cotton would be kosher for the shlichus, because again, we're talking about a separate new category of shlichus. So let's just summarize. In bittul, we could say like the Ramban, there's no bais of bittul, it's not shaykh to shlichus, it's not like hafara, there's a mais hafara. But we could say that if there's no equation between bittul and hefker, perhaps we don't even need shlichus. And the minui of the mishaleach himself is going to achieve a tziruf between the bittul of the shliach and the irotzon of the mishaleach ein rotzon bekiyumo, and together they form one entity, one integration of a maisa bittul. It's one maisa bittul, and that's not classic shlichus, where shlucho shalom kemoso in kol tarku the shliach replaces the mishaleach. Here, if bittul is that's according to the Ramban. Now, if bittul is hefker, then it's not shaykh to say that it works in that way. We're going to have to assume that if you need das makne for shlichus, then perhaps there is das makne in bittul if you hold that bittul equals hefker, or more logically, we would say that the shlichus, a classic shlichus of kol tarkula, and therefore a cut was be excluded, or that there's no shlichus at all and the whole operation cannot work. Okay, then we'll stop here.